And right now we're going to the phones where we are joined by author Rob Flood. He's the author of the book With These Words. And Rob, welcome to the Wake Up Call Morning Show.
Thank you so much, guys, for having me on.
Oh, thank you. Excited to talk to you about this because, hey, as the Bible says, the power of life and death is in the tongue.
No doubt. And you can imagine when you try to apply that power in marriage, one of the most concentrated places we get to apply our faith. Every word matters, how it's spoken and how it's received.
Kind of break up your book into three parts. You talk about truth for communication, then practical tools for communication, and then working it out, how we can work from that. But let's start at that first part, because often I think we want to jump right to the tools and say, okay, well, give me some quick tips on how to talk to my wife or my husband. But what are some of the truths, some of the biblical truths about communication that we might need to understand first before we jump into more practical stuff?
Well, that's a good question. You know, it's important, I think, to read the instructions without reading them. Sometimes we can get it right. Most of the time we get it wrong. And God certainly gives us lots of instructions on what words are for and how we're supposed to use them, the effect they're supposed to have on others. Right in the first chapter, I start the book by outlining these principles that all of our communication should manifest. We should speak like words that honor God and represent God well. The first principle is we should speak so people encounter God. So if they're struggling and our words represent the care that God wants to give to them, we have to make sure that our words are in keeping with the will of God, that they are echoing his desires and performing the ministry he wants in that moment. The second one, we should build up with our words and not tear down. And the principles 2, 3, and 4 in this first chapter are all based right out of Ephesians 4:29. So this is, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good as building up. And so our words should have a positive effect on our spouses. The third principle is we should speak in a way that fits the occasion. You could even say something that's right, but say it at the wrong time and not accomplish the purposes of God in that moment. And then the last one, this is just the first chapter. The last one holds out that we should give grace to others through our words. It's the effect of our words that we need to take responsibility for. So these are just some of the truths that God holds out for us, that if we would just apply them and follow his instructions, our communication with anyone at work, at school, in our friendships, but particularly in our marriages, our communication could be used for the purposes of God to bless our spouse.
So when a battle of words comes up, sometimes one or the other or both go silent, but you suggest, one, don't be a reactor, but to be a responder. And naturally you would think, well, let's not be the first to respond. But you say, no, you should be the first to respond. What do you mean by that?
What I mean is that the power of which direction a conversation goes most often rests with the responder, not the person who acts first. And we see this principle played out in the earthly ministry of Jesus, where so many people wanted to hook him into a fight, wanted to trap him, wanted to trip him up. So they initiated the conversation, but the conversation never went in the destructive direction they wanted. He, being the responder to that, was able to direct it to redemptive conversation. So what does that look like in a marriage? Let's say that I come home from work, I'm particularly frustrated or I've had a hard day, and I'm not kind in my first words to Gina, my wife. We're not yet in a fight. The direction of that conversation really is determined by how Gina responds to what I said, and vice versa. If I were to come home in a great mood and not be aware she had a rough day with the kids or a rough day at home, and she's sharp with me, we're not yet in a conflict. As the responder to her words, I have the power to decide whether we're going to fight or whether we're not. And, you know, this flows right out of the proverb, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Wrath is the initiator. It's our gentleness as the responder that turns it away and preserves the unity in the relationship.
In your book, you talk about there's that honeymoon period where you guys, everything is bliss and, you know, things are great. But you guys had a pretty short one. You had a big fight early in your marriage, didn't you?
Yes, we did. Yeah, our honeymoon period lasted 4 days. It was a conflict that we ended up having. We had struggles with purity before we were married. We're convicted by God that we ought to be walking in greater purity. And by God's grace, we're able to with that conviction. We had months of walking uprightly and in purity, but there were offenses and sins that hadn't been properly processed. We didn't know this. This is all hindsight that I'm talking from now. And on the honeymoon, things were not clicking with us. We were very frustrated, very vulnerable, but it wasn't going well. And on day five, we had the biggest argument of our marriage. And I don't mean of our five-day-old marriage. We've been married coming up on 25 years this fall. Of our 25-year marriage, our biggest argument was on day five on our honeymoon, which just began a very dark, separated, isolated period. Though we remained living together, we were living separate lives, wishing harm on one another, doing harm with our words to each other. And it was some of the principles I've captured in this book that were shared with us through good pastors, good friends, and through the Family Life Weekend to Remember that really helped us to rejuvenate our marriage, redeem it. And then we realized, man, others need this. So we've administered these things for decades and finally decided to try to capture some of that in a book.
God takes something and turns it around for good.
And if you're going to have the biggest fight in your marriage, at least get it over early.
Yeah.
Right? And now it's out of the way and you can
move
on.
That is one way to look at it.
And you do focus in your book, because you, the last part, the working it out part, you know, for people out there who maybe are in a marriage where it's like, boy, you know, our communication, our marriage is not good. We've, you know, maybe they're kind of the same like you were. The two people living separate lives, they're still in the home together, but it's just not a good situation. Where's a good place for folks to kind of start this process of getting back to healthy biblical communication in their marriage?
So one of the things that I tell the couples that I counsel in my ministry is that it's good to start in two places, two very simple places to start at the same time. First is that if you're not growing in your walk with Christ, if you're not walking with Christ personally, overcoming offense and bitterness and fear is going to be near impossible. And so I try to encourage couples to re-enter their lives and their walks with Christ in some places where God has really met them in the past. If there's a book of the Bible that they've always enjoyed, revisit that. It's a familiar territory. God has met you there before, and rejuvenate your own walk with Christ. But at the same time, while you're trying to learn these big principles of communication, I think it's a very good thing to start with one of the tools that you can apply right away. You're taking steps toward Christ, and you're taking steps of obedience on how to use words while you spend some time learning how to use them. So a great place for a couple that's struggling to start is to step towards Christ and step towards obedience. And then the grace that often comes through that can open up your heart and your mind to how you use your words overall, and you see improvement over time.
And one more thing, you talk about prayer in marriage being important, but you compare it to like a veggie tray at a Super Bowl party. What do you mean?
Not in the end, but that's how we often perceive it. We just had the Super Bowl. And true to form, we had all the fried foods and the wings and the chips and the salsa, and there was the veggie tray. My wife always wants to put out something healthy when she puts out food that she thinks is not good for us. And that's often how we think of prayer. It's the veggie tray of the spiritual disciplines. We know it's good for us. We know we'll be better if we eat it, but we're not drawn to it naturally. And so in marriage, prayer is so necessary, particularly if there are areas of struggle. If you struggle with communication, prayer is so important before you talk. It's important to realize if the conversation's not going well, you can actually pause the conversation and pray. Ask God for help. If you started to be sharp, you can pray and ask God for forgiveness. After a conversation, you can pray and ask God to manage your thoughts as you come off of that conversation. We have to remember, as husbands and as wives, that God is for us and wants a healthy marriage. And He would love for our conversations to involve three people and not just the two, the husband and the wife. He would love to be a part of those conversations.
We're talking with Rob Flood, author of the book With These Words, Five Communication Tools for Marriage and Life. Rob, would you be willing to pray for couples that might have been struggling with communicating and using proper words?
Oh, that'd be a privilege. Thank you. Let me do that. Father, we know that when you bring us together as husbands and as wives, you bring us into the closest relationship on earth that we have. Lord, that closeness can bring blessing, but we can use that closeness to hurt. And Lord, there are some women and some men listening right now who have been hurt by the person who's supposed to love them most, who are carrying wounds and scars. inflicted by someone who should have brought blessing and love. So, Father, I pray that you would be a very present help to that man or that woman out there, that you would bring them grace and show them that you are a God who sees their struggle, but also, Lord, that you would give them the power from your Spirit to use their own words to the glory of God. And Lord, I pray for that spouse who's inflicting harm on his husband, on his wife or her husband. Lord, I pray you'd bring sweet conviction from your Spirit, that you would lead that person to your word and cause them to walk in obedience as followers of Christ, so that the marriages that you have brought together would bring you great glory, would tell the great story of your relationship with your church. And Father, I pray that next week would be a much better week for these couples than last week, and that that would continue, that they would then thank you for that growth and turn and help other couples in need. Lord, you can do this. I've seen you do this in our church, in the ministry that you've given me. Lord, do that in these couples' homes to the glory of God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Rob Flood joining us once again. The book is With These Words, Five Communication Tools for Marriage and Life. And Rob, if folks want to find out more information about the book, how can they do so?
They can buy the book at newgrowthpress.com or at Amazon, or they can reach my website at robfloodauthor.home.blog. I've got a blog there. There's a way for them to subscribe and reach out to me if they've got any questions.
Excellent. Hey, Rob, thank you so much for taking some time with us this morning. It's been great talking with you.
Guys, thanks for having me. Blessings to you.